This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We're talking with psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott right now. She's author of the book, The Minds of Mass Killers, Understanding and Interrupting the Pathway to Violence. And this is certainly an individual that, had he been interrupted, there would have been more lives saved. But here we are, almost 12, 13 years since the initial 2010 murders took place in Long Island. We are, of course, talking about the man that is accused now of being the Long Island serial killer from Gilgo Beach. The man in custody, his name is Rex Huerman. And we're learning a lot about Rex over the last couple of days. One thing of note, he seemed to like to torment the family, at least one family, of the victims, or of the victim whose life he took and then laid on that beach to rot. A lovely individual, isn't he? Siobhan, this is something where I look at it and I go, you're already deplorable for what you're doing, in terms of murdering, but what on earth are you, why are you calling the family? Why are you messing with the people that are just trying to grieve?
Yeah, it's particularly sadistic because what we know about serial killers, they're not killing for any personal gain. They're killing for pleasure, and it's typically sexual pleasure. They find other people's suffering arousing. And because they're sadistic in that way, they actually enjoy seeing the family suffer too, and often, you know, watch news broadcasts and watch the grieving relatives. This guy took it a step further. You know, how bold was that, taking the chance of actually using the phone and calling the sister? And apparently he called at least four or five times and said things, you know, that were really disturbing and awful because he was taking pleasure from her emotional upset. So it's another evidence of how different these people are and how normal they can appear on the outside, because of course other people, he wasn't always well liked. He was liked by people he worked with typically. His neighbors found him grumpy and menacing and didn't care for him. But I don't think anybody guessed he was a sadist. And So there's this really split off, separate kind of, you know, personal quality that they hide very well. And it also shows the narcissism, because serial killers like to play these little cat and mouse games. Usually it's with law enforcement or the press, giving clues, trying to say, you know, look what I'm up to and you can't catch me. But in this case, he was doing that actually with the family. So trying to show how smart he was, how sadistic he was. And then he also reportedly had obsessive features, and this came out in his work all the time. And that would make him more dangerous in that he was good at not leaving clues at the crime scene, things that might get him caught.
Is that why you think it took all this time for them to hone in on who this is? Because he was very detailed oriented when it came to what he was doing, obsessive, as you said, to help kind of cover up his trail?
Yeah, I think he probably put a lot of time into planning where he was going to take the person, when he was going to dump the bodies, how he would dump the bodies, the location. And obviously, he didn't leave much evidence. I read that, you know, it was basically a hair of his that they got, and then some hairs from his wife that were obviously accidentally transported. So he wasn't perfect, but he did put a lot of time and energy into doing this.
Sure. Not a lot of excuses for having your and your wife's hair on burlap sacks that are around dead bodies.
Yeah, exactly. Talk yourself out of that one.
I don't know how you really did. And then combine that with Google searches and all the other pieces that have come together. Why do people like this enjoy watching families suffer who've already gone through something so bad? Is this something that he's made with? Is this just in his DNA and that's how what he enjoys? Or is this something that's formed through some sort of a trauma earlier in life?
Yeah, you know, we used to think that serial killers all came from abusive backgrounds. And I mean, it was a narrative that allowed normal people to kind of wrap our heads around it. But it turns out that's actually not true. They do seem to have differences in their brains. Some may be partly genetic. Some may be influenced by the environment. You know, it's not like there's an exact formula for how to produce a serial killer. And I don't think we have it all figured out now. But we definitely can't say that anything in someone's environment causes them to, you know, to become this way. Even if they did have an abusive background, millions and millions of people have abusive backgrounds. And so it really doesn't fully explain it. There's just some differences in the brain. And they don't have empathy for other people. They may feign empathy. This is that psychopathy factor. They can appear to be very normal and polite and do kind things, but it's superficial and it's really designed to manipulate. But when it gets right down to it, they see people as objects or pieces of meat. And they enjoy making people suffer. And that's not something that normal people, we can't even wrap our minds around that. You know, most normal people, when we see someone suffering and in pain, even an animal, we feel that. And that's empathy. We have compassion. And these folks, that's simply a missing piece.
I think what baffles a lot of people is the sexual connection to it, where they get gratification from that, from the suffering. And I think a lot of times people think, well, there must have been some sort of sexual abuse. That's not always the case, though, correct?
Definitely not. Definitely not always the case. Sometimes it's been exposure to really violent and horrendous pornography when they were little kids. And often that exposure happens fairly early in childhood, 8, 9, 10 years old. Some of the serial killers mention sadistic kinds of horror movies. I won't mention the names because people don't necessarily need to go out and expose themselves to that. But sometimes it's been popular movies where this was a theme of sexual violence. And if they masturbated to this as little kids over and over repeatedly, they sort of changed the wiring in their brain.
Sure. That's a weird one.
Yeah.
I mean, just thinking that when I was a kid, it's like we didn't have any, like you got to go find like your dad's Playboy or something.
Right.
And it's like, like, oh, OK, that's, you know, fairly, I guess, normal of most, you know, young boys' experiences
Very
in
normal.
The 80s. But to I don't even to even like. See something horrible in these horrible horror type movies and go, yeah, that's the material for me. That's good.
Exactly.
What? Where does
that
come from?
And I think a normal response, you know, we find those things disturbing and repulsive, but there are subsets of people who have different responses to it and are attracted to it or find it really cool. And then there's this really small group that find it sexually arousing. Yeah. So you've got this combination of there's some brain differences and then you've got some environmental influences. And when it all comes together in this very awful, perfect storm, you get someone like this.
You know, we haven't heard anything from his family yet. He has a wife, he has a child and a stepchild. His attorney trying to paint a picture of he's a good family man, a good husband, a good stepfather. Do you suspect that they had any inkling of what was going on here? Or is this kind of similar to BTK where there really wasn't much until maybe retrospectively looking at you could find little breadcrumbs?
Yeah, exactly. That's my guess is that, you know, this is the classic serial killer who really compartmentalize and they put a lot of energy into this hiding of this other side. You know, they don't leave evidence around the house. It's very hidden. And, you know, he may have functioned in a hard to imagine how could his wife say, oh, yeah, we had a great relationship, you know, but he may have functioned fairly normally. And yeah, the Golden State Killer daughters that said, oh, he was a great father. And it'll be interesting to hear what the family members in this case say.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.